Matthew 13:8, it says, by the Spirit of God, he cast out demons and devils. In Matthew 3:17, it says, he listened and heard from Abba Daddy in the Spirit. In Hebrews 9:14, it says, in the Spirit, he offered his life up as a sacrifice. In Romans 8:11, by the Spirit, Jesus was raised from the dead. From conception to resurrection, Jesus' life was thoroughly filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. And that same Holy Spirit in Romans 8:11 that raised Jesus from the dead abides in us. So if the all-consuming life of Jesus was in the Spirit, don't you think we need to understand the Spirit of God? When we looked that up a couple weeks ago and I said it means, do you remember? Intimacy. Be consumed. Be one. Like a marriage, when they consummate a marriage, they become one. We are to be one with this Spirit in our life. And the only way that we can become one is we communicate and he becomes real in our day-to-day procedures. Whether it's good morning, Holy Ghost, good afternoon, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Spirit of God. That's going to travel with me today and tomorrow and for the rest of my life. We have the same Holy Spirit. And if Jesus said the things he did were to, do, trust me, we're not to do it without the Spirit. Because it's the Spirit that causes us, the greater one, to be in us than the forces that oppose us. Amen? I find it very interesting, and a lot of you let us know as we've been going through this, how many never even was taught on the Holy Ghost or Spirit. And we've talked about how almost an unknown part of our life, the one that was given to us. Who do you think does not want you to get in tune with the Holy Spirit? It's not God, because the Holy Spirit is God, but it's not Jesus, but it's the forces of the flesh and the natural man that tries to keep us doing it in our own strength, in our own life. I was looking at back in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, there was a governor, Zerubbabel, that was to build the natural temple. And he was struggling, he was trying to schedule things, line things up. You can imagine back then with the tools they had, it was pretty tough to build the temple. And the Lord spoke through the prophet and said, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. That was the natural temple was to be built by the Spirit. Fast forward into the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Right. How are we going to build our life in power and might if we don't do it by the Spirit? Right. It's the Spirit that gives us life. It's the Spirit that teaches us. And today, so many Christians try to live out their life doing it with as hard as they can do it. But it's not by might nor by power. It's by the Spirit of the living God. And when we have the Spirit of the living God, we get the might and the power. Amen. So we have to not negate the great one, the one that's there to cause us to succeed and to be all that we can be. I find it interesting that Jesus taught his disciples how important it was. In fact, if you got your Bibles, go to the book of John, while Jesus is still on the earth. John chapter 3. And I want to talk to you about there's a difference between being born again and being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Both involves the Spirit of the living God. But I'm telling you, there's a difference. And it's laid out in the Scripture. And it's very important that we understand that. If we're going to do the works that the Lord has called us to do without striving, but by the Spirit of the living God. a religious man, a Pharisee. His name was Nicodemus, verse 1. He came to Jesus by night and he said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do the signs that you do unless God is with you. Jesus answered and said to him, Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless you are born of the water, which is how we're birthed into earth, and by the Spirit, capital S, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Jesus did it. Why would we think any less? Jesus was conceived by the Spirit. Now listen, but he did not do any signs and wonders until he was baptized in the Holy Spirit in the River Jordan at the age of 30. And from then on, signs and wonders followed Jesus because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. If that's our pattern, then why wouldn't we want to be filled with the Holy Ghost? Unless we didn't care if we operated in signs and wonders. Nicodemus, very intelligent, saw things, couldn't explain it. It says, verse 6, That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. Verse 8, The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born by the Spirit. You're not going to see it. You're not going to feel it in your hearing gates, but he is real as real can be. Verse 16 says, and we know this scripture, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Everybody look at me. There's a born-again experience. When we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our lives, Jesus came that we would receive by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know Paul in Romans 10, 9 and 10 says that we are saved by giving our lives to the Lord. And realizing that he died for my sins and rose again, and all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now stay with me. That's all laid out, getting born again as a believer. But why would he, in his last words, and if you will flip ahead to Acts chapter 1, why would the very last words of Jesus on earth not be very, very important for us to digest? I've often heard that when somebody's about to leave the earth, they have some pretty specifically powerful words, and if we listen, we hear them. Here's Jesus. He's already died. He's already been resurrected. He's already came back and presented himself. Now listen. The reason why I'm taking you to this place is because think of doubting, we call doubting Thomas. He really wasn't doubting. Thomas said, hey, you all disciples got to see Jesus. I haven't. Until I see his side and see the scars in his hands, I'm not going to believe. 8 days later, here comes Jesus through the wall. He says, Thomas, touch my hands, touch my side, and believe. He saw it. He fell to his knees. My God and my Lord. Would you say he probably got born again? He not only believed in him, but he saw the resurrected Jesus.
Yeah, right, good word.
And yet, all 11 disciples were told not to say anything or do anything until. And let's take a look at those last red letters in Acts chapter 1. You've heard from me. Verse 5 says, John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they come together, they ask him, say, Lord, Will you at this time restore the kingdom? He said, of course, it's not for you. Verse 8 says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be a witness to me in Saginaw and Merrill and Midland and Bay City and through all the places of the earth. Why would his last words tell born-again people that you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost if it wasn't very important to be not only saved with the Spirit, but be totally immersed in the Spirit? Because he knew it was significantly important for the disciples that were going to go. It's not practicing what I'm not practice. You know, it says practice, you know, practice makes you better. You've heard me say that. It may make you better, but it doesn't make you perfect. We should be sharing what we're living. And once you're in that place of living the preciousness of God, it's kind of hard. You don't want to go back, do you? I mean, I don't remember when I got saved. You've heard me say that. I was raised in a Christian home. I knew the Lord all my life. I don't know, you know, I probably prayed the prayer when I was whatever age I did that. I was water baptized. I went through all that. I always believed in Jesus. We always honored him at Christmas, even though Santa wasn't a fearful thing to us because we believed in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. But I do know what happened to me when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit and received the power. At 25 years young, my life has never been the same. I understand why it was important that before they go out, they be endued with power. Because by the Spirit, we have the power. We don't have power in ourselves. The Lord showed it to me this way, church. I live out in the boonies. And I dug a number of years ago a spring-fed pond. It's very refreshing. Now it would really be refreshing. And the Lord showed it to me like this. It's 100 degrees out. My pond is spring fed. And I'm thinking to myself, whoosh, this is going to feel good. And I'm diving in. And I'm swimming. And someone religiously comes by and says, hey, brother, there's no water in that pond. Too late. I'm swimming. I'm being refreshed. Or others come along and say this. You better, that tongue stuff, that Holy Ghost stuff, you know your pond's got water moccasins and you've got snapping turtles in there. You better get out of there. Too late. I'm enjoying the refreshing, and I'm taking authority over the stinking snakes. My wife and I, we look at things prophetically in almost everything. We're watching a movie. It's called Pleasantville. It was a free thing that came on our channel. And just to let you know, we just saw the significance of the church that are in this ritual, this stagnant condition. Pleasantville is all in black and white. And we don't want to ruffle any feathers, so we don't want to do anything that's going to be threatening. So we just keep doing the same stuff over and over again, thinking we're going to get different results. And then all of a sudden, some begin to have ideas outside the religiosity sector. And they begin to step outside the lines. And all of a sudden, color came to them. And my wife and I looked at each other and says, we're colorful. I am not going to stay in this bondage of, you better not step outside because it's not going to be pleasant. Stay black and white, and you won't ruffle any feathers. Don't get too radical in worshiping. You might ruffle some religious feathers. Don't pray too often in tongues because you may ruffle, because you might go before the judge, and the judge says, we want to keep this community pleasant. We want to keep you in black and white. I don't want to stay in black and white. I want to get outside the line. I want to experience the fullness of God. And that's what happens when we experience the Holy Ghost. It's not any longer just going through the ropes. It's having a personal encounter with a living God. I love colors. I remember as a kid when our black and white TV, I'd go see my aunts and she had a colored one. I thought, oh my gosh, would that be a blessing to have that? I see that religiosity has people going through the motions, same thing. Oh, we know how many songs we're going to sing. We know what's going to happen. Because if we yield to the Spirit, now listen, if we yield to the Spirit like that judge didn't want to change anything, if you yield to the Spirit, you can't control the Spirit. Oh, no! The Spirit has freedom to do and to lead and to guide and to encourage and make us all that we're to be. But the safety net is stay comfortable and pleasant. You don't want to ruffle any ridges. I'm telling you, you're not here very long unless you are not wanting to any longer stay in the boat. It's get out of the boat and be all God has created you to be. So John or Thomas had to encounter the hand and the side. He believes, and the Lord still does not want him to go out until he gets endued with power. I think it's the same way today. I have never looked back, my wife and I, since 24 and 25. It's been fun. It's never a dull moment. Someone says, are you living? You know, you get these people that have these, what do you call it when you set goals to live out? Bucket list. I'm living my bucket list with the Lord and the Holy Spirit. I don't know what's coming, but it's good. Every day, someone getting healed, someone having dreams of giants submitting to the things of God. And it's never a dull moment. And I believe that Holy Ghost, as you've recognized him, is beginning to stir you up to begin to encounter things that you might not have encountered before in your lives. Look with me, if you would, to Acts chapter 8. Bible scholars believe that every chapter kind of represents a year in the course of time, which would put about 8 years after the day of Pentecost. And we know the church was birthed in Pentecost. We're living in the new covenant. And it says this, I want you to look at, if you would, verse 11. And the Bible says this in Acts 8:11. They heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorcery for a long time. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip. They were amazed. They began to see miracles and signs that were done. Now, when the apostles who were in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, which means they had given their lives to the Lord and they were into the word now, they sent Peter and John to them. Why did they send Peter and John? Because Peter and John had experienced something that they needed these young Christians to experience. Who, when they had come down, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Now listen to me, church. A lot of people believe in the Holy Ghost. Some have not heard of that, but they don't realize you get the Holy Spirit. I tell pastors many times, do you know every believer has the same Holy Ghost? And I never thought of that. Because you don't think of things that are real. Those are basic common sense. Do you think you get saved, you get a baby Holy Ghost? No, you get the same Holy Spirit. But why are some people living the life and are very colorful in that? Because I believe they didn't just settle in but going and getting born again. They wanted to get baptized in the Holy Ghost and be operating in power. Amen. And that's where I want to stay. And Simon saw that when the apostle laid hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he tried to buy it. Give me this power that he witnessed. Peter said to them, your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. He saw what was happening. It wasn't just people getting saved. There was something visible. Go with me to chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 38 says this. Reiterating what Paul, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. When did Jesus get anointed with the Holy Spirit and power? At what age? 30 years old. And it says, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. If God was with him, we know it's the Spirit, and he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed. The only dividing part, if we're going to do the things that Jesus did, we have to not only be filled with the Holy Ghost, but we got to step out in the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says these signs follow believers. They lay hands on the sick. They cast out devils. They speak in new tongues. Go with me. Verse 44, Peter was still speaking these words. And the Holy Spirit fell upon all those that heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished. As many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, which are called the unbelievers, who are now believers. They heard them speak with tongues and magnify God, and they weren't even water baptized yet. And Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should be baptized who have received the Holy Ghost just as we have? And they were water baptized. Again, they had to expound and get others to come in and teach because there is so much. You know, when we talk about the Holy Ghost, He's not a ghost, but he's almost unseen in a lot of religious settings. He's like invisible. It's like, and yet, you can't go through a study without seeing the Spirit involved in the whole Word of God, and especially in the New Covenant. Oh my gosh, Spirit of the living God, and yet we hear so little, and we're trying to do things in Jesus' name. Listen to me, church. Everything we do in word and deed, we're to do in the name of Jesus, but we're supposed to do it as the Spirit leads us. Those that are led by the Spirit are the true sons and daughters. If you're into a ritualistic thing of always doing the same thing over and expecting different results, well, I'll go pray for them, you know, lay hands on the sick, so I'll just do the same thing. That may not be, just because that's in the Word, that may not be what's inspired for the moment. You've got to stay in tune. What's the Spirit want you to do? He may have you give a word. He may have you just give a hug. You want to know, what do you want, Spirit? You're my companion. You're my buddy. Let's go. He may have you get some spittle like had happened, but you better make sure it's the Spirit. But can you see, the more in tune we get in the Spirit, the more we're going to do things the way we're supposed to be doing it. Those that are led by the Spirit lives in us. He came in us when we got born again. But when we got baptized in the Holy Ghost, fully emerged, wow. Amen. I was reading a book that somebody in the body had given my wife. Some of you know Andrew Womack. Pretty good guy. I like the guy. Listen to him. But I wanted to share this with you because I think it's pertinent instead of you just hearing my experience. He says this, speaking in tongues is a valid gift for today, and it accompanies receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you don't speak in tongues, then either your beliefs are preventing you from doing so, or you haven't received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I received the Holy Spirit 10 years after I was born again. Second experience. But it took me another 3 years to speak in tongues. I wanted to speak in tongues. I prayed for the ability to do so. But I had not been taught so much. I had been taught so much against speaking in tongues that I couldn't do it. I had too much fear, unbelief built up in me. It took a while to get my mind off and renewed by the Word of God to get rid of the unbelief. I'm mentioning my personal experience to show that it is possible to be born again and to have an encounter with the Holy Spirit, yet not speak in tongues. If you have had an encounter with the Holy Spirit, but you don't speak in tongues, it's because you've been taught something that's hindering you. There's snakes in your pond. There's snapping turtles in your pond. It's done away with when the last apostle died. Something you've been bred that's keeping you from operating what God purposed to empower us to live in victory and power. The ability to pray in tongues is important in the life of believers. It's a gift from God. We need it today. Thank you, Andrew Womack. I believe that. And that's why we don't him and haw around. We are a full gospel, Pentecostal, charismatic work. We're not going to negate and say the gifts got done away with. Holy Spirit, lead us. I don't know what's all going to happen today, but I know with you leading us, it's going to be good. And powerful and breakthrough.
Amen.
So, last week, Pastor Mike was in the 19th chapter of Acts. And again, another illustration of how important it is that we have both experiences happening in our lives. It happened while Apollos was in Corinth. Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and he found some disciples. Everybody look at me. If you're a disciple, you're a follower of Christ. If you're a follower of Christ, you believe that Christ died and was raised again. So we're talking about believers that had the first experience, but this is so important. He said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" Now, whether they realize it or not, they did get the Spirit when they believed because they became a new creature. They were born in the Spirit. They'd already been born in water when they were birthed by their moms. So they've already, but they don't even realize there's a ghost, there's a Holy Spirit that wants to commune with us. And we keep him on a shelf or we keep him at a distance because we can't figure him out in our heads. But in our heart, wow. I like the colors. I like outside the lines. I like religiosity dying. And now we're not talking about people. Come on now. I'm not talking. You don't hear me ever mention denominations. We got brothers and sisters in them all. I'm telling you it's the religious stupidity that keeps us from experiencing more of God. Because if we can get you to believe this, we can control you into getting you to do what I want you to do. And I'm telling you, when you come here, I can't control you because Spirit of God flow in people's lives. And in doing so, you can't control that. We used to have river meetings. People would come from around the whole area. This whole pastor, thank you for opening up and having these river speakers. Oh, it's such an, I'm so grateful you're opening your church. And they didn't realize it's not an easy thing. We had all kinds of things happen. I didn't understand it all. A pastor one time said, oh, I was with another pastor. He called me for my counsel. He says, oh, I was with another pastor. And this guy began to groan when we were supposed to be praying. He says, I was so grieved. Oh, what do you think of that? I think he probably groaned in the spirit. Oh, you mean you've groaned before? I said, yeah. I said, hey, bro, when you came out of your denomination today, understand the tongues and all. Oh, no. Why do you now think you got a corner on the market that you understand everything? I'm not going to say I know it all, but I know in the Spirit I'm free. I know in the Spirit God can flow as He wants. I know in the Spirit I'll not be in chains. Those chains have been broken. And the liberty and the freedom. I can dance. I can jump up and down. I'm not afraid of turning people off, but I am hoping I can turn somebody on. And if I was Pastor Mike and Pastor Weldon has come unto you, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Because we know how important it is to not just get saved. I mean, listen to me, church. Greatest decision you'll ever make is make Jesus Christ your Lord. Amen? Your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You get to go to heaven. But if you're going to operate on earth, you can't operate just being born again. If Jesus told those disciples, don't you say anything, don't you go anywhere until you get endued with power, he meant it.
Amen.
And if he meant it then, he meant it now, because he's the Lord God that changes not, so he hasn't changed, so he still wants us operating in power, and it's up to us. I want to close with an area that's been captured the church many times. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Dear sister texted me that she was confused in a certain area, and I brought that clarity, and this is what I told her, because she was saying that you said in here that you're to be led by the Spirit, not the Word of God. Well, early church did not have the written word. They had the old manuscripts, okay? Now, am I asking anybody to not heed the word? Oh, I want you to heed the word, because the Spirit should confirm what the word says. But let me tell you, the interpretation of that word is many times wrong. And it will enslave people into believing it that way, and it will keep them in bondage, because that's how it was taught. So the word didn't capture them, but the interpretation of the word did. And I remember when I was out swimming in my pond, refreshing, and people said, hey, you can't do that. That was done away with. And this is what they would take me to as scripture. But remember, I'm already refreshed. I'm already swimming. You're not going to take me. Verse 8 says this, love will never fail. Whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. Now listen, stay with me. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. So they said, there it is. The word of God came, so all that stuff is done away with. Sounds all great, but that means prophesying is done away with. Knowledge is done away with. I don't think so. We can still get knowledge. In fact, he clears it up. Verse 12, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we are going to see face to face. When he who is perfect is come, is the living Jesus Christ coming back for the church, we're not going to need tongues, we're not going to need prophecy, we're not going to be needing knowledge, because we'll be all knowing. The perfect one has not come back yet, and the Word of God with all its translations is a good guide. But in itself, you need to be led by the Spirit. And this is what I finished when I told this person, surround yourself with people. In a multitude of counsel, there's safety. A wise man or woman surrounds himself with wise counsel. Don't just any kind of counsel, but counsel that's on the same page that you're on, so you don't get led into, well, it was done away with, and that's what I've always been taught, so I'm surely never going to speak in tongues anymore, when it's a very avenue of building you up and edifying yourself. Spirit-led. I can tell you, church, for years, people take one scripture out of context or a couple here, and they make their whole belief system be out of something. Instead of Holy Spirit, you're not going to mislead me. You said I need not anybody teach me but you, says 1 John 2. Help me, Holy Spirit. When I come before you, I am asking the Holy Ghost. Does that mean I'm perfect? No, I know in part, prophesy in part. But I'm going to bounce my heartbeat off those that I trust that have your best interest. And if they don't have your best interest, I don't want them up here sharing. Because I don't need you to be misled. You need not anybody teach you about the Holy Ghost, but he uses people to introduce principles.
Yes, sir.
If I never got up here and told you my experience, and I was never taught against tongues, so I didn't have to work a lot of junk out. But I'm telling you, if I'd had somebody teach that 1 Corinthians 13, oh boy, it was done away with. I would be operating in so much less. I mean, why do I want you to have it? Because the Lord wants you to have it. And that's why he told the early disciples, don't go sharing or anywhere until you're endued with the baptism of the Holy Spirit and power. Which brings me to closing. Most people don't understand the Holy Spirit, and they try to understand him up here. This is where he lives. This is what we're getting renewed. That's what's happening this morning. We're getting this renewed so our believing mechanism lines up. The Bible says our earthly fathers, as evil as they are, still give good gifts to their children. How much more will our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to whoever asks? When the disciples were asking, did you ask for the Holy Spirit? They didn't even know there was one. How could they have asked? And then in Galatians 3:2, Paul comes up on the Christians in Galatia and says, did you receive the Holy Ghost because you did a lot of good works or by the message of faith? And they responded, just by faith. Huh. And then Acts 4:2 says, the believers spoke and the Holy Ghost gives the understanding. No man understands him. So most people get caught up here. This Andrew Womack, 3 years, asked for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, didn't speak in tongues. It's because he had so much that was taught against it, he had to work through it. Pastor Mike wasn't raised in church. And I remember I was sharing the baptism of the Holy Spirit at a Bible study, and it was for another one of individual. Now, when I get ready to see if he wanted to pray and receive this, he pikes, I want it. And his life's never been the same.
That's right.
He went from just being a believer to being filled with power. And he's not stopped wanting to learn and read, Pastor. But he didn't have anything to unlearn. He didn't have religiosity in his head. He didn't have to jump through a bunch of hoops. His biggest challenge, I remember when he said, Pastor, I'm trying to get the youth from these other places. And they said, well, we can't go with you because you guys aren't from our denomination. I says, welcome to religion. Religion always tries to separate, where Jesus and the relationship wants to unite us. Don't you dare put down other brothers and sisters wherever they're at, but don't let them keep you in bondage. Come into the color world. Because it's beautiful. Amen? Let's stand to our feet this morning. I'm going to ask you again this morning. If you've made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, great. If you haven't, say, Jesus, come into my life. I believe you died for my sins. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Just that quick, you become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old passes away spirit and it becomes enhanced. But like the disciples that got filled with the Holy Ghost, let me ask you, have you asked Jesus to baptize you in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of praying in tongues? And if you haven't, you have not because you ask not. And if you're asking, I'm going to say ask to get filled with the Holy Spirit and the evidence of speaking in tongues. And number two, you've got to step out. If you're trying to figure it out, a couple in this group, when I taught before, they said, Pastor, I want it. I said, well, okay, well, how come? Well, my head's in my way. The other one says, hey, no problem. Right there, let's go. Prime the pump. And I begin to pray. They begin to imitate. Next thing you know, they're off and about. I'm telling you, the enemy's going to have you, and I'm telling you there's snakes in your pond. He's going to be telling you there's snappers in your pond, or he's going to tell you there's no water in your pond. Too late. When you're in there, it's good. So I'm going to ask those that are listening, if you've not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, say, Jesus, fill me with the Holy Spirit. I submit to you in that area now. And Lord, I believe it by faith. And I believe it's for now. And close your eyes and raise your hands and just begin to praise the Lord. And I'm going to ask you to just step out in the Holy Spirit. This is not a tongues with interpretation. This is a prayer language to build up your most holy faith. Holy Spirit, just free up the pumps within my brothers and sisters. Free them up. Give them all that they need to operate in the fullness of your Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Now stop. The Bible says the prophets, the speakers are under the speaker's control. No one's going to force you ever to move your mouth. But he's going to, you yield to it, And the more you yield to it, the more it becomes a way of life. Amen? God bless you. You're all welcome to come to the potluck. Good to see you all. Love on one another. If you need special prayer, the altars are open.